Let's turn this morning to Isaiah chapter 43. And this is going to be kind of our springboard into where I feel like the Lord wants us to go this morning. So we're in Isaiah 43, verse 10. And it says, "You are my witnesses." This is the Lord speaking. "You are my witnesses and my servant whom I have chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am He. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me." Verse 11, I am the Lord, and besides me there is no Savior. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for who you are. And Lord, I pray that, Holy Spirit, you would help us to have a better understanding today of who you truly are and what your nature is. And help us to understand more and more your love, your grace, your mercy, your peace. Help us to have a better understanding of that. And Lord, in any areas where we're believing something about you that's not true, Holy Spirit, I pray that you would come and show us that, that we can change our mind about that and come into agreement with what your truth is, that we would understand you, who you really are, and out of that understanding, Lord, that we would share you with others. Do a work in us this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. 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 Listen, that's the sermon right there. The Lord says, "You're my witnesses. I've chosen you that you might know me and believe me and understand me, who I really am." Because how many of you know, sometimes we have a false idea of who God really is. And that can happen for a number of reasons. You know, we could go back to childhood and maybe our parents, you know, dealt with us in a certain way. And, you know, our father was this way to us. And so we transfer that over to Father God. You know, it can happen easy. A coach, a teacher, you know, a Sunday school teacher even. Sometimes our view of God gets skewed a little bit. But God says, "I've chosen you that you may know me, who I truly am, who I truly am, and believe that you may know who I truly am," and believe that, not the other stuff, right? "And understand that I am He." It's out of that understanding that now we can share who God truly is with others. That's what He wants us to do. That's what He wants us to do. And if we're believing a lie about who He is, Holy Spirit wants to help us in that area this morning so that we can believe who He truly is, understand, and out of that, share with others. You know, we've been talking about the past several weeks, Pastor Steve has mentioned that God isn't interested in us only knowing about Him, right? And we've given examples of presidents or Billy Graham or Mother Teresa, these people that we all know who they are. We can know about them, but do we truly know intimately who they are? And the answer is no. And God's not looking for us to study, and we can give a list of who He is and we know all these things about Him and never know Him intimately and personally. That's not what God's looking for. Psalm 34:8 says, "Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man who trusts in Him." Now, if you taste and see something that it's good, that's not just knowing about something, right? Like Bob can tell me, "Oh, Kurt, I got these apples. They taste so good. They are so sweet. They're delicious." He can go through the whole description of it, and I can have some of an understanding of it, right? But until I actually taste the thing and see for myself, that takes my understanding to a whole nother level, right? And that's what God wants us to do with Him. He wants us to taste and see that He's good. Not just know about Him, but know Him intimately. We know Him more as we spend time in His presence. And that's why it's such a priority to leadership here. that when folks come to CLCC, we want them to encounter the Lord, right? If they don't get anything else, we want them to have an encounter, an experience with God when they come here, you know? Now, we want all the stuff that goes along with it. We want to make people feel welcome. We want to be friendly. We want to reach out to folks, pray for people if they have needs. We want to do all that stuff. But if we do all that and it's not a priority to help lead people to an encounter, an experience with God, we're missing something, aren't we? Because that's what God wants more than anything. He wants us to love Him with all our soul, heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love our neighbor as itself. It's relational. It's all relational in the kingdom. How many of you know sometimes in relationships, sometimes we go through stuff, right? Trish and I just celebrated our 17th anniversary yesterday. And thank you. They have been 17 of the best years of my life because of my wife. And we've had many wonderful experiences together. We've had two marvelous boys together, Ryan and Andrew. We've enjoyed each other's company. There's been a lot of good stuff, and there has been some stuff. You know what I'm talking about. There's been some stuff as well. And no matter if you're married or not, you know that when you're in relationship with people, sometimes there's stuff that we need to deal with. Stuff, I'd rather deal with the hard stuff and get through it, because what I have found, especially in our marriage, is that when we work through the stuff, what typically happens after that? Are we closer or further apart? Usually, we're closer together, right? Yeah, that's good stuff, yeah. Now, it was hell to get there, let me just say it that way. It was tough, it was work, it was hard, but once we worked through the stuff, what did we enjoy? Promised land, right? Rather than not working through the stuff, and it's just constantly out there. It's just like a stone in my shoe, and it just nags me every step I take. And until I take that stone out, it's going to continue to nag me. Well, sometimes there's stuff in our relationship with God. And it's what I was referring to earlier. Sometimes we have a misconception of who God really is. And that will greatly affect our relationship with God, and then how we share Him with others, right? If I see God as a dictator with a club waiting to whack me when I mess up, and I share that God with others, boy, they're going to be running in droves to see where they can sign up to accept Jesus, right? No. Because they might have the same, you know, misconception of God. But if I experience His love, if I work through the stuff that I have, and listen, Sozo Ministry can be a big help in this area. And I really encourage you, if you have some stuff in your relationship with God, boy, I really encourage you to sign up for a Sozo. Pastor Steve and Stacy head up that ministry. They do a great job with it. And if there's stuff there in your relationship with God, why not deal with it? So that you can experience what Trish and I do after we work through our stuff. It's like, this is so good. Otherwise, you can keep walking around with that stone in your shoe, and it's not going to be too pleasant. So I just encourage you, work on the stuff if you need to, because it's so good after we do. James 4:8 says, draw near to God, and He will draw near to you. He wants closeness. He wants intimacy with His children. We have to know Him intimately if we're going to be effective witnesses. And again, back to our scripture here in Isaiah, the Lord says, you're my witnesses. You're my witnesses. And if you think about what a witness does, like in court, what does a witness do? He comes up and he swears to tell the truth, and he shares with what he saw or what he understood of the situation, right? And so that's what we're doing in our relationship with God. If we know Him truly, understand Him, believe who He is, truly, we can then be a witness and share Him with others. And I really feel like God has His finger on that idea. That's just been an emphasis over the past several weeks, right? I mean, Let's face it, this isn't the first time you're hearing about the importance of sharing your faith with somebody or evangelizing or offering to pray for somebody, right? I mean, we've been here for a while and it's been good. And yet God is asking us to take another step up, I think, right? And we're effective here. We can be more effective here. And so I pray that some of the things that we're talking about this morning can help us to take that next step. Our understanding of God will affect will affect what we share with others and how we share. We're going to do this video in just a minute. How many of you know who Todd White is? You know who Todd White is? He's an evangelist. He's actually from Pennsylvania. You guys know who Pastor Dan Moeller is? And he's been here to speak a couple of times. We had him at a men's retreat several years ago. Pastor Dan is awesome. And he just oozes the love of God, right? And one of the big themes that he talks about is our identity in Christ and how we're sons and daughters now because of what Jesus did for us. Well, Todd White is Pastor Dan's spiritual son. And Todd White is fearless. I mean, we've seen video clips that Pastor Steve and I have shared on Sunday mornings. Remember the one where he was over in Israel and prayed healing over the man that one leg was a little bit shorter than the other? And God miraculously grew the leg out, and they wanted to get into the Dome of the Rock. And later on, that guy that they prayed for ended up being very instrumental in helping them to get in, which people said, oh, it's impossible. You can't get in there. That's Todd White. Okay. I just want to share a clip, and let me kind of set it up a little bit more here. How many of you have heard of the heavy metal band? Now, Paul, I'm sure this is one of your favorites. The heavy metal band, they've been around for a while. Their name is Korn. It's K-O-R-N, right? How many of you? Yeah, Cheryl's heard of it. She's a headbanger. No, no. So there's this heavy metal, and I mean, lyrics just vulgar. And, you know, you go to a concert and, you know, you got like 10,000 people just, you know, covered in tattoos and all headbanging, and before there's all manner of stuff going on, and some people would look at that and say, boy, that's the outcast of society that go to a Korn concert. Well, God is so awesome, and he doesn't work inside of our box. They have a band member named Brian Welch in this band Korn. He got saved about 10 years ago, right? The guy in this heavy metal band got saved. And soon after, he felt like God was calling him to leave the band. And he was away from the band for 8 years. Until recently, he felt like the Lord was sending him back to the band with a mission. And there's a lot of controversy, and people are, well, why are you going back into that atmosphere? And there's evil and it's darkness and blah, blah, blah. And Brian Welch is saying, I get all that, but this is where God's sending me, and I'm going to be obedient and go where he's sending me, and I'm going to do what he's asking me to do. Well, Todd White became friends with Brian Welch, and you'll see here in a minute, they're both dreadlocks and, you know, these guys. And so anyway, long story short, this video is a clip at a Korn concert, and I don't know if it was before or after, but they go out and they're mingling with the fans. And, you know, you got, yeah, 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 guys like that, you know, going crazy. Hey, what's up, Head? That's Brian Welch's nickname, Head. Hey, Head, how you doing? You know, guys are, you know, probably a little intoxicated maybe, you know, stuff like that. Anyway, they go out, Todd White and Head Welch, filled with the love of God. And you'll see what happens.
So here's what I heard in my heart, man.
This is Todd White.
For the last, like, 4 years. You've just had one thing after another, it's just banged you, man. One thing after another, bang, 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 man. And like, and I feel like it's been for the last like 4 months. You've been like, no, I got to do something. I got to do something. I got to do something.
Oh my God.
And I honestly, and so like, when I walked up to you, I actually heard in my heart that like, you've been wanting to come back, but don't know how to get back, man. And it's as simple as this, because your question to this, it's the truth, man. It's the Holy Spirit, man. That's the presence of God. So I believe that, like, for the last 4 months, you've been like, I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. I don't know what to do. And so you're trying to do this and trying to do that.
Fighting, being myself. I'm fighting, man, what the Lord wants me to do. So I know the difference. But
so right on. When's the last time you said to God, you know what, God? I kind of pulled myself back from you a little, and I'm right now coming the whole way back to you, and I'm sliding home. Have you ever thought about that?
Yeah, but I'm scared because
listen,
I've done so much wrong.
Let me ask you this.
I don't think I'm worthy of coming
back. Here's the deal. I was just talking to my friend about this. If you were worthy of doing it on your own strength, why would you need Jesus, man? If you were worthy of doing it on your own, then why would you need Jesus, dude?
Exactly.
I need Jesus.
That's right. Okay, so watch. So watch. The cross. So here, in the world, the payment that's paid for something always determines its value. So God is like this. Like, listen, He's just told me exactly where you're at, man. He spoke to me about your back. He spoke to me about your neck. He's healed your neck and He's healed your back, dude. And God's doing something in your heart. When I prayed for you, I felt the presence of God actually touch your heart. And it got all warm from the head down, dude. And then that feeling of unworth comes in. But if you were worthy in your own way, you wouldn't need Jesus, man. But He paid a price, and He paid a high price to get you back. Why don't you come home, bro? Right now. Come on, man.
Thank you, brother.
Amen. Right now, okay?
Lord Jesus, I ask for forgiveness of my sins, Lord, and I ask that you guide my footsteps from here on out, Lord. And let your will be done, not my will, Lord, but your will be done. And I ask that you guide my footsteps and let me follow them in your way, Lord, and as you see fit. And I thank you so much, Jesus. And I pray in your holy name, bless this band, bless this man, bless this disciple that you've sent to me. Bless my footsteps that brought me to this man. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.
What's your first name?
Doug. I want in on this.
For Doug, God. In the name of Jesus, God, I thank you for Doug giving his life back to you today, God.
Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name. God, I thank you. Holy Spirit,
yes, Lord.
In the name of Jesus, right
thank
now,
you, Jesus.
Your presence come. In Jesus' name. Nothing, God.
Bless thank you.
Father, I thank you in the name of Jesus, God, right now.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Fill him right now. In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus.
In Jesus' name.
Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, bro.
Welcome home, bro. Come on, man. Welcome home, man. Love you, dude.
It's going down, guys.
It's awesome, man. Tell Brian what just happened, man.
What happened? Hey, last few months, I have been letting go, looking to be. I know I'm doing wrong. I know I'm doing wrong, but I'm scared to call to him because I feel so bad about the way I've lived for the last year.
Right on.
Dude, everything is forgiven.
Come on.
Exactly. Hey, you're blameless, free from any accusation.
But right now, it's already on.
It's done.
It's done deal.
You're free from accusation, any accusations against you. Let me tell you this right now.
Come on, Brian.
I left the rock star life for 8 years, and I did his thing. And he gave it back to me and more, but it's for a whole different purpose now. So if you let go and give it to him, he's got something way better for you.
And then Jesus came and touched you. But not just that, you came home. And the Bible says this, dude. It says that there's 99 that are with the shepherd, but there's that one that goes away. And it says that he goes and searches for the one. And so, like, I'm from PA. They're from wherever,
we're
just
from
in
Ohio.
Town, touring. Like, and all of a sudden, you're in line, and God singles you out. At a place that you said three signs even told you to come.
Right.
He comes, singles you out, and brings you home, and the angels rejoice.
You,
and there's nothing.
It's a party right now.
That's it, dude. That's and you don't have to ever go back and revisit that stuff. You don't have to ever say, I'm unworthy. Jesus paid a price, man, because you were worth it. Heaven paid a high price to get you back, dude. So by them paying that price for you, Jesus paid a price for you. So his high price he paid makes you of great value to the Father.
That's right.
That's somebody who understands the heart of God and goes out and shares him with a world that needs to know him. Listen, how many people would see Doug, the guy that he led home on the street with the tattoos and the piercings and the who knows what, and just say, look at that stupid kid. Man, he better get his life together. But no, when we know God, when we know what we've received from him, we can't help but give it out to those, right? God says, you're my witnesses, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. And then go out and share it with others. I hope that does something to us, that video. I hope that spurs something on within us. I hope it stirs something up within us. I hope we can't get away from that until we start walking in that. Because listen, there's a world that needs to know that. this guy came home because of somebody who knew his God and shared him. I love that. I love that. God seems to be emphasizing to us recently this idea of evangelism, reaching out to others, etc. This has always been a priority to him, but we keep hearing it again and again. I alluded to that earlier. It's been an emphasis here at CLCC. So out of this love relationship we have with our Heavenly Father, let's share Him with others. Let's go to Acts chapter 8. I just want to not be long this morning. Take a look at a few examples of folks out of Scripture that shared Him with others. Acts chapter 8, we're going to start in verse 26. Here's three things we can remember to do as we share this loving God with others. We're going to look at Philip here. Acts chapter 8, verse 26. It says, "Now an angel of the Lord spoke to Philip, saying, Arise and go toward the south along the road which goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is desert." I want to submit to us that when God asks us to do something, we would do well to be obedient and to do what He's asking us to do. Remember at the wedding in Cana, they ran out of wine, and there was all this, oh my gosh, what are we going to do, you know? And Mary looked at the servants and said, pointing at Jesus, said, "Whatever He tells you to do, do it." And because of their obedience, there was a wonderful miracle that happened at that wedding reception that day. When we're obedient to what God asks us to do, there are wonderful outcomes waiting to happen. We're going to see one right here. Verse 27, "So he arose, Philip, and went, and behold, a man of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority, under Candace, the queen of the Ethiopians, who had charge of all her treasury, and had come to Jerusalem to worship, was returning. And sitting in his chariot, he was reading Isaiah the prophet. Then the Spirit said to Philip, Go near and overtake this chariot." So again, Philip is getting direction from the Lord. First, the Lord sent an angel and said, "Go here." And he went. He's at that place. Now Holy Spirit says, "Go right here to this guy." And what does Philip do? Verse 30, "So Philip ran to him." He was quick to be obedient. He didn't kick it around his logical mind and say, "Well, this doesn't really make sense. Why would God ask me to go see this guy? I really had a plan to do something else today, so I think I'd rather do that than what Holy Spirit's asking me to do." He ran to the guy. Philip ran to him and heard him reading the prophet Isaiah and said, "Do you understand what you're reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he asked Philip to come up and sit with him. This is a man that has authority, that has great power. God will ask us to go to places that we never thought we could get into and influence people that can influence many others that we never could have influenced ourselves. Don't you want to do that? Don't you want to get an assignment from God and go visit the mayor who can affect the whole town? Don't you want to go pray for the governor who can affect the state? Don't you want to go to the township supervisor if God leads you there? Yeah, that's good stuff. I'd like to do that. I'd like to think that we would all like to do that. And as we're obedient to what He asks us to do, we'll see amazing things happen. He said, "How can I unless someone guides me? Verse 32, "The place in Scripture which he had read was, and he was led as a sheep to the slaughter," talking about Jesus. Verse 34, "So the eunuch answered Philip and said, I ask you, of whom does this prophet say this, of himself or of some other man?" Verse 35, "Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning at this Scripture, he preached Jesus to him." Oh, now I understand why you wanted me to go to this place and meet up with this guy. Now it all makes sense. I couldn't see it before. Now I understand. You wanted me to preach Jesus to this guy. who has much authority, who has much more power than I do, who can affect and influence many more with this good news than I could have, right? Now, as they went down the road, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized?" Then Philip said, "If you believe with all your heart, you may." And he answered him and said, "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Who wants to sign up for experiences like that? Yes. Are you kidding me? Listen, we'll have opportunity to do stuff like that at the block party. I'd love to have you come. And this isn't just a sales job to try to get a bunch of people to go up there. I want God to stir something in our hearts and not just hear a good message, not just hear a good sermon, not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. That's where the fun is, right? We get to go out and do the stuff. We get to go out and meet with the eunuch, right? Oh, that this would stir something in us. So, one, let's be obedient to what God's asking us to do. Okay, flip back to Acts chapter 5. So number one, we want to be obedient to what God's asking us to do. Number two, as we're going out, sharing our faith, evangelizing, trying to be a blessing to people, we want to walk in power. Acts chapter 5, verse 12. "And through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were done among the people, and they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. Yet none of the rest dared join them, but the people esteemed them highly." Verse 14, "And believers were increasingly added to the Lord, multitudes of both men and women, so that they brought the sick out into the streets and laid them on beds and couches, that at least the shadow of Peter passing by might fall on some of them." Verse 16, "Also a multitude gathered from the surrounding cities to Jerusalem, bringing sick people and those who were tormented by unclean spirits, and they were all healed." I think Peter walked in power. What do you think? His shadow touches the sick and they're healed? Come on. This guy walked in power. And what happened as a result? Believers were increasingly added to the Lord. Multitudes of both men and women. Will we choose to walk in God's power? I love what Mike shared earlier. Now we have these battles. It's up to us to walk and to fight it ourselves or to allow God to fight it. In a similar way, when we go out to evangelize and be a blessing and to share God with others, we can do that in our strength or we can do that in His strength. Which results do you think are going to be better? What do you think is going to cause us to have more success? Walking in our very limited strength and understanding, or walking in His unlimited supply of resource? Yeah. Mike said, "I'd be crazy not to let the Lord fight this battle for me." Similarly, we'd be crazy not to be filled with His Spirit, filled with His power when we go out to share God with others. Amen. So number one, we want to be obedient. Number two, we want to walk in power. Number three, we want to take others along with us. We want to be a mentor. We want to disciple others to do what we're doing. Turn with me to Timothy. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's take others along with us. Let's invest and mentor and disciple people to come along and do what we're doing as well. Paul is a perfect example of that. I mean, was he obedient to what God asked him to do? First point, absolutely. Did he walk in power? No doubt about it. But what I felt like the Lord wanted to use with Paul was this example of how he discipled others. And of course, Timothy was one of his spiritual sons. It's 2 Timothy chapter 1. And just how he encourages Timothy here, we'll start in verse 3. I thank God. Well, let's go back to verse 2. To Timothy, a beloved son. A beloved son. Paul's investing in his life. He's speaking into his life. He's trying to disciple him. He's mentoring him. But the base of their relationship is Paul loves him like a son. Verse 3, I thank God whom I serve with a pure conscience as my forefathers did, and without ceasing I remember you in my prayers, night and day. I am for you, Timothy. I want to see you be a success. I want to see you go further than what I've gone. I want to see all of God's plans and purposes realized in your life. Because if you're a success, then I'm a success. We're not competing against each other. You know, it's not that I feel like you're trying to one-up me or something. No, no, no. God has an amazing plan for you. And I want to see it all blossom and be realized in your life. Greatly desiring to see you, being mindful of your tears that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the genuine faith that is in you, which dwelt first in your grandmother Lois and your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded is in you also. He's building up Timothy. Look, Timothy, you have this spiritual legacy, and there's stuff that's been passed down to you from grandma and from your mom. And they want you to take that and go and do more than what they did. They want to see you be a success. I'm for you. I'm for you. I'm rooting for you. Therefore, I remind you to stir up the gift of God which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Let's take others with us. Let's be obedient to what God is asking us to do. Let's walk in His power, in His strength, pulling on His resources to affect a lost and dying world with His love and His grace and His peace and His good news. And then let's also take others along with us and invest in them and mentor them. And hopefully they'll stand on our shoulders and go further with it than what we did. Amen? Amen. But first we got to know Him in truth and understand that we're sons and daughters. Will you stand with me, and we're going to pray and close here. I want to thank everyone for coming out this morning, and I'm going to ask Mark Richwine if you would close us in prayer and just ask God to seal this word in us and help us to walk in it. So Lord, I just come to you and ask you to give me the words. Lord, I ask that you would be able to affect every life here today by your Spirit. Give us a desire and a boldness, Lord, to touch those around us. Give us a love, Lord, for the people that are in our lives that maybe we would overlook. Or maybe we would cross the street and get our hands on our can of mace or whatever. There's so many people out there that don't look like they need God, but they desperately need you. So, Lord, I pray you'd help me at my work and help Mike and everybody here, wherever they go, wherever they shop, wherever they, you know, travel, even family reunions, Lord, there's people that need to hear your voice. They need to know that you love them. So pray that you give us your power, your love, give us your words to say. Lead us by your Spirit in all things. We could see your kingdom come and your will be done in people's lives. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Thank you all. You're dismissed. Enjoy the rest of your Independence Day weekend. Be blessed.